We've been doing a series on Ecclesiastes, wisdom for living, and this morning we're looking at youth. Perfect theme for us since it's a kickoff of our Sunday school year. We're kind of skipping over some of that, and we'll go back later and catch up, but we want to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 this morning, and listen to these words from Solomon. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of the grinding fades. When the people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. Well, we've been on this series on wisdom, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I heard about this old married couple, and they were crawling into bed one night, and the wife begins to list all of her aches and pains, one right after another, and the husband said, well, honey, I feel just like a newborn baby. And his wife said, really? And he said, yes, I have no teeth, no hair, and I think I just wet my pajamas. That's what it's like to be old sometimes. So enjoy your youth, Solomon wants us to know, and so we've been on this journey of wisdom, and this is really a fascinating book of the Bible and really in all of literature. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, the son of David, the favorite son, and the one who took the throne after him, and he's on a search for meaning and happiness in life, and aren't we all on a search for meaning and happiness? And he has the resources to go and explore all these things, and so in our own life, we do that, and like many of our lives as well, he doesn't begin with the answers. He begins with the questions. I think most of us do that in life. Don't we begin with the questions rather than the answers? In fact, oftentimes, like Solomon, it takes us a while to find the answers to life. And so to recap just for a moment why the first week we looked at his search as a sort of a young person in life, and he goes and he searches for meaning. He searches for happiness. And the first thing he searches for is in academics and intellectualism. And as many of us know, learning is great, but if you think academic accolade gives you deep peace of mind and the meaning of life, you'll find that it's just chasing after the wind, as he says. And then he looks in unbridled pleasure seeking, and he goes from the academic lecture hall to the frat house, and he seeks pleasure, and he seeks it in alcohol and doing all these kinds of things. And once again, he finds it just empty and chasing the wind, and many of us have found that as well. And then he looks in materialism. And he finds out that he seeks great building projects. He seeks fame and fortune and romance and all these things and has the resources to do it. And once again, he finds it just meaningless and chasing after the wind. And then he becomes sort of a workaholic, which he's sort of been in some way, one way or another. And this project for materialism, once again, he doesn't find the meaning there. And he settles on this. He says a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. And then he goes on to say this, to the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. In other words, when our purpose and priorities are lined up with God, then all those other things find meaning too and pleasure in our life, but we have to put God first in our life. And then last week we looked at the seasons of life, and there's some great truths in the seasons of life. And some of you found out for the first time that Solomon, in addition to all his other achievements, had a number one hit on the pop music chart in October of 1965. The words came right from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, put to music by Pete Seeger, and then sung by the birds, and even my daughter said it was sort of a thumbs up on music. It was new to her, and many other people said, I never heard that song before. It sounds great. The older folks among us are middle-aged and those in denial. I said, yeah, we remember that song. So, but there are some key lessons there in the seasons of life, and first of all, that life has seasons, and many times they're contrasting seasons. Some of those seasons of life are very difficult seasons, but we need to learn that life is full of seasons and to embrace the season and to learn the lessons of the season. And when we do, we also know something about just enjoying life. And then we need to learn to move on to the next season. We've all known someone who's stuck in a season, to learn to move on to next season, and that there's joy in the next season of life. And then also to learn to do the right thing in every season, whether we're young or old, anywhere in between, there's always something to do right and to stand up for what's right in life. And he says in chapter 3, verse 12, and I love this, there's nothing better for people to do than to be happy and to do good. And we talked about those two are often joined together. Well, this morning we're looking at youth, right? And I love youth, and I love to see the kids up here dancing. I know a lot of you are too shy to do that, but they can just revel in that, can't they? And we skipped over all the other ones. We're going to go back and catch up, but I thought since it's Rally Sunday, let's jump to Solomon talking about youth. And so in chapter 11 and chapter 12, he does this. And let me just ask you, what was your favorite growing up movie? Some of you are still growing up, but think about it for a moment. If you're a little bit older, it might have been, this is going to bring back some memories, Rebel Without a Cause. 1955, James Dean. Anyone remember that one? It's still a classic. And then maybe a little bit later on, we've got American Graffiti, 1973. Richard Dreyfuss, remember that? Ron Howard. Or Grease, 1978. Yeah, Grease. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. Or the same year, Hair, with Treat Williams and Beverly D'Angelo. You might remember that. A little later on, Dirty Dancing. People remember that? My daughter just discovered that the other week. Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. Or Mystic Pizza with Julie Roberts. Or later on, Breakfast Club. If you were more into aliens, and that was your answer, then E.T. with Drew Barrymore. Or later on, Stand By Me, a classic. And then it might be later, like High School Musical in 2006, a classic. So just think for a moment what your might not have been on that list. What about TV shows? Anyone remember Happy Days?
How about the show Friends?
Anyone? All right. And it might have been later. We got The Gilmore Girls, OC, One Tree Hill. We're watching all those, Savannah and I. And then there's songs. So let me just ask you to think for a moment, what was your favorite growing up song? All right. So just think for a moment. All right. Now I want you to share it with the person next to you for just a moment. What was your growing up song? It might have been Guns N' Roses, you know, The Beatles. I don't know. Go ahead. All right, what was it? Might have been Elvis Presley, Beatles, Miley Cyrus. I mean, I don't know. Usher, all right. Chris Brown, I don't know. Kesha, whatever it is, yeah. So we got a theme song, someone who knows you that no one else does. And growing up is wonderful. Sometimes when we're in it, it seems like it's the most difficult thing in the world. Well, this morning, Solomon, who's been through all this, has some words for us to remember. And he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. What are the days of trouble? Yeah, Gary, I wasn't looking at you, Gary. I can look in the mirror. Old age, getting old, okay? You, if you're young, okay, however you define that, you know, there might be some difficulties, but it could be worse. You could be getting old. You could be old, all right? And Solomon has some interesting words to describe what it's like to get old, okay? So he says, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon, the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. What's it like to get old? Well, you feel some aches and pains, all right? The day after working on the retaining wall or Habitat for Humanity, right? You get a little weak and it hurts a little bit. And also, have you noticed that older people often wear glasses? Thick glasses. Mine are in my car. They're not just sunglasses, you know. I need them to drive, actually. And some of them have different layers, you know. The B word. The B word is bifocal, okay? Or trifocal. I like it when a doctor says graded magnification. That seems better than bifocals or trifocals. He goes on to say, when the keepers of the house tremble and strong men stoop. So when you get older, your hands shake a little bit, okay? And people begin to bend over with age, and it's not just the cares of life, so they tremble and shook. Some people even grow a little shorter with age. You know, I used to be 6'5". And when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. Did you notice that older people go to bed earlier? Have you noticed that? And young people are just getting their steam up around 11. So during the week, especially now that Savannah's in high school, we go to bed pretty early, and I'm good with that. But on the weekends, she's allowed to stay up. It's no tucking into bed. It's like, okay, turn out the lights when you're done, and just like, you know, wave to me or say goodnight, Daddy, on the way to your room, and it's after midnight. She's just going around 11, and I know other, you know, teenagers out there just getting rolling, college students just getting rolling around 11, sometimes even 12 o'clock. And then older people have more worries and fears, right? It says about the sounds in the night, right? So you hear sounds in the night, your ears begin to fade a little, but you don't want the music turned up. Am I right? I mean, right, even this morning, right? So even though the hearing goes down, you don't need to turn up the music, just speak a little bit louder. So it says, when people rise up at the sound of birds and older songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred. What does that mean? I heard Bill Hybels paraphrase this and I like it, so I'm going to read it. This is from a pastor, so I can say this. You know you're old when climbing three stairs leaves you breathless and dizzy. When a bump in the night keeps you awake the rest of the night. You know you're getting old when what's left of your hair turns white. When daily duties make you sore and when sex becomes a chore. All right? That's what he said. So, young people, it may seem difficult in life, but this is a time to be enjoyed, to be embraced. And we, middle-aged and above, senior, golden, all those people, we need to encourage our young people to enjoy the seasons of life. And we have some wisdom to pour into it. He ends up with this. He says, then people go to their eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember God before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And so Solomon is going to say to us, he says, listen, I know there's some issues with youth. He himself had some issues in youth. But he says, listen, make the most of your youth. It could be worse. You could be growing old. And so enjoy your youth. And so he has four things in the scripture. You have to actually back up because we started with the last thing. If you go to chapter 11 in the middle of that, in verse 9, the first thing he says is to be happy. Be happy in your youth, to enjoy it. He says, be happy while you are young in verse 9, and let your heart be filled with joy in the days of your youth. Be happy, enjoy life. You know, this is the season of life, and I know all young people have cares, but this is a time when you have maximum energy and minimum responsibility. Now, I know you don't have completely any responsibility, but this is maximum energy, believe it or not, and minimum responsibility, so enjoy it. Enjoy your youth. Sure, you know, you have some worries. What's your career going to be? Which college are you going to go to? What sports or clubs are you going to be part of? What's the latest fashion? But realize this, you know, there's always some downside of life. And in youth, it has a little downside too, but remember this, there's some wonderful things to be enjoyed and to be happy about in life. And God designed you to have this energy in this time of maximum energy, minimum responsibility to enjoy that in life. And so do lots of things, but be happy and enjoy your youth. And the second thing he says is to follow your heart. And the second part of that verse, in chapter 11, verse 9, he says this, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that God will hold you accountable. Now, I want to begin with a little warning that he has in there. There's a little caveat there that I think is important to look at, and I think it's good to start with that. And so he says, you know, listen, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. And so I really want to take a moment, and I know other adults do too, they're older folks, and say, listen, out of the bottom of our hearts, listen, be careful. As much energy as you have in a time of youth, you need to, first of all, don't do anything illegal. Because if you do something illegal, your youth could be taken away from you just at a blink of an eye. You could end up hurt. You could end up in jail. You could even end up losing your life. And so don't do anything illegal. It will cut short your youth in so many ways. And trust me on that. And sometimes you're tempted to bend to peer pressure. But listen, don't do that. Do what's right in life. And then don't be self-destructive. You know, there's some forces out there. Anytime you feel the urge to hurt yourself, in any way, sometimes the burdens of life, even in youth, can be difficult. We just encourage all of you, don't do anything self-destructive in life. Come to a parent, an adult, someone that you trust, and know that we're here to help you along the road of life. So don't be self-destructive. Don't do anything careless or stupid. You know, you talk to any adult that's here, and even many of you young people too, and You may know someone in high school or in the college years, and in one night, you know, they drank too much and they took drugs or something, and they went out and they had a horrible accident and someone lost their life. And we want to encourage you to not do anything like that. Never be careless or stupid, and don't bend to peer pressure that have you do that. And then finally, don't do anything immoral. You know, there's a road to life that's so important. This in Psalm 119, I love what it says here. That was part of the call to worship. I can run in the paths of your commands because you have set my heart free. If you follow the things that are right, you're going to find that you enjoy life more and you have less regrets in life. And so with that caveat in mind, to be careful and to don't do those things, listen, follow your heart. The message puts it this way. Follow the impulses of your heart. If it looks good to you, pursue it. It's so important in the time of youth to just follow your heart. And there's so many things. It's time to experiment a little bit. It's time to try some new things. Don't hide in the room somewhere and just play video games. If you see a club you'd like to try, you know, find the things that you love. Find the things that you're good at. Try a sport. Try a club. Try acting or music or art, whatever it is, and embrace it. And don't worry necessarily how good it is. Just find if you love it. Find if you enjoy it. Get some feedback from folks who know something about it. You know, coaches or teachers or things like that. Give it a shot. You never know that might be the dream you want to follow in life. And when you do, sometimes amazing doors open up in life. And I don't know if you watched Saturday football. USC had a great golden moment. There was a beautiful moment. I don't know if anyone saw Jake Olsen, who was the long snapper for USC. Just an amazing story. And there's nothing too exciting about being the long snapper for the extra point, right? Unless you're blind like Jake Olsen. And he wasn't always blind, but he lost his first eye to cancer when he was less than a year old. And so he just had one eye. And then when he was 12, he got cancer in the other eye. And so he knew that he was going to lose that eye. And so Pete Carroll, the coach at USC at that time, heard about it from a neighbor of the Olsons. And so he invited this young man who enjoyed football to come to one of the USC's practices. And he got to be with the team. And he got to, even after he was with the team, and see what that was like, why he got to lead the Trojan marching band out of the day of the game with a sword. And Pete Carroll said, I wanted him to remember what it was like, to see what it was like, so when he lost all of his vision, he'd know that dream and what it was like inside his mind the rest of his life. And so he had surgery the next day, and he lost both eyes. He kept in contact with Pete Carroll, who became the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks and still is. And so in 2011, he went up to visit Pete Carroll up with the Seahawks, and he was blind. And while he was there, the long snapper for the Seahawks said, listen, why don't you go ahead and try a long snap and see what that's like. And so he showed him how to hold the ball. And he showed him how to hike that, as a long snapper has to be really accurate. And so he really enjoyed that. And so he went back and he tried that. And so he became part of the high school team, being the long snapper while he was blind. And then the day came when he was accepted to USC, and they invited him to be part of the team. And so he was working hard as a long snapper. And Saturday, he got his chance. His number 61 went out there, and he did it perfectly. He snapped the ball and got the extra point, and the place went wild, as you can imagine. And afterwards, he was able to take the sword and lead the Trojan marching band out onto the field and play conquest. So a beautiful moment. You never know the dreams in life that you have. And sometimes you face an obstacle and difficulty. And the dream that you have as a young person can be the dream that drives you and helps you to overcome obstacles and challenges. And so follow your heart. And then he also says to banish anxiety in chapter 11, verse 10. This is what he said. So then banish anxiety from your heart. Banish it. Get rid of it. Be done with it. You know, sometimes we go through, as young people, depression, and there seems like we're sort of holding the cares of the world on our lives. And I think Solomon would say, listen, banish worry. Banish anxiety. Just sort of push it back a little bit. And you have to deal with the wrestle, then do what you got to do. But he's saying, listen, right now, you need to just sort of banish the worries and anxieties. And I know every young person has at least one worry in life. And if you've been a young person or are a young person, you know what that is usually, which is what? Worry about what peers say, right? What do friends say? Am I dressing right? Am I part of the in crowd? And I think as adults, we just say to you, listen, be yourself. Be happy being yourself. Push back those worries and anxieties and embrace being young. And I love what an old African-American preacher said. I think he says it best. And he said this, be who you is, not who you ain't. Because if you is who you ain't, then you ain't who you is. I'm not going to try to say that again. but I think he said it really well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Am I right? You need to be who you are. And in youth, it's time to discover that and not be burdened down and weighed down by the anxiety some people would try to foist and push on you. And so banish anxiety and embrace, find the true north of your life. It's such an important moment. And the final thing he says is remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's what we started with today. In other words, honor God. Honor, love, and serve God. It's so important in life. And he said, don't forget the Lord in the days of your youth. You know, I don't know if you ever forgot anything. Anyone ever forgot anything in life, anything important? This is one of the favorite excuses of being a young person. And actually, it's something that folks come back to later in life. Am I right? What about the test? I forgot. How can you forget it? I forgot. You know, what about your chore? I forgot that, you know. And later on, it's like the job interview. I forgot it. Maybe there's something you forgot. But listen, whatever it is, remember God in the days of your youth. Honor God. Love and serve God. And listen, you're never too young to serve God. You can meet a young person. I was looking at the young people up here today. They can know what it's like to serve God. It's so important, their time in Sunday school and in church and listening to these moments. And in the middle of life, it's not too late. You know, whether you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, listen, it's never too young to serve God. And learn to make that the first priority of your life. And when I was young growing up, there was this great movie out called The Cross and the Switchblade. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you haven't, you should, about street gangs in New York City. And it was centered on Nicky Cruz, who was this street fighter. And there was all this drama, and he was a drug dealer and a gang fighter and all this stuff. And then he had a dramatic conversion from the work of Dave Wilkerson. Being a Christian, he had this incredible story, this incredible testimony. I always thought to myself, man, you know, I grew up in the church. I wish I had a testimony like that. You know, gangs in the streets in New York and, you know, fighting, and then God touched my heart and life. But I later heard Nicky Cruz say in person, he said, listen, you know, the greatest testimony you could ever have is not how dramatic your conversion was, but serving God young and in your youth. You never wasted a day in life. And I think that's true. And as younger people, you need to listen to the voice of older people who could say, listen, serve God in your youth. Make it a time that you treasure, a time that you honor God and love God, and you'll find that that will guide you through all of life. And so in closing, I just want to lift up again part of Psalm 119. The psalmist said this. This, of course, is Solomon's father, King David. And he said this, how could a young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. We seek you with all your heart. Do not let us stray from your commands. We've treasured your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. We delight in the way of your decrees as much as riches. We meditate on your precepts and fix our eyes on your ways. How sweet are your words, sweeter than honey. We hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. God's commands are the ones that will set your heart free if you put God first in your life. And Apostle Paul said this to young Timothy, and Apostle Paul was older in this time when he said, listen, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and in conduct and love and faith and purity. You as young people can be examples even to us in the middle of life and later of life. And so, as Solomon would say, you know, you have all these things in life, these temptations, but listen, serve God. He himself had looked in academics, he looked in materialism, he looked in pleasure seeking, he looked in work, didn't find that. And he's saying, listen, in your youth, find the center of your life. Your youth is important, so be happy. Follow your heart, banish anxiety, but most of all, remember the Lord your God. In all of your life, you'll find that's the greatest thing in life. And so, just in closing, I just want to say it's as if there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts and lives. And if you try to look in even work and materialism and pleasure and fame and fortune, all those things, it will never fill up that hole in your heart. Only love of God and a right relationship with God will do that. And when that relationship is right, all those other things that have their place in life will find and give you pleasure and happiness. But first and foremost, you need to find a right relationship with God. And so let's just take a moment and pray. If you've never done that, I invite you to pray with me. Dear Lord, as we just pray, and some of us just in the quiet of our heart, sometimes we get lost and we need to find the true north of our life. Help us to listen to Solomon, this great person of wisdom and this great book of wisdom. Help us not to be distracted by even the great and good things in life, but to realize that there's only one thing. one thing alone that will give us happiness and set everything else in the right relationship with life, and that's a right relationship with you. And so we pray this morning as we open our hearts and lives to Christ, our Lord and Savior, who offered us forgiveness and provides the pathway to you as our loving Heavenly Father and Creator. Give us forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings. Fill us with love and hope and peace and joy. Help us to serve you all the days of our life. And help us to serve you in our youth, and help us who are beyond the years of youth to encourage our youth that realize that the most important thing in life is our relationship with you. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.